listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, eating a whole lot of ramen and then listening to pop music. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, gonna sing a little song and dance for something that's killing the world right now because it's popular, right?
We are also joined in the booth by...
Max Finkelstein.
Hello.
Hey.
And we three are together to discuss K-Pop Demon Hunters, a Netflix movie that has caught the world by storm. And apparently everyone is talking about now, including the fact that it was just in theaters a little while ago for a sing-along edition and won the weekend.
I was there.
You were there?
Yeah. My wife and I went with her mother and sister, and we were singing along in the theater. Like, I got the playlist playing right now in the background. Like, it's good shit, man.
How great was it? Was the vibes pristine?
It wasn't as much singing as you would hope. Like, we went and saw, not to get too off topic, we went and saw the 30th anniversary of a Goofy movie earlier this year, a little bit, like a couple months ago, and that was a sing-along too, and that was a sing-along. Like, people were singing Powerline. It was a lot of fun. This one, you had some people singing here, and we were singing, but it wasn't like as amped as the one for Goofy movie was, which was disappointing, but it was still a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to compete with a Goofy movie, though. I mean, that's a classic.
Yep, one of Disney's vault's best.
Still have not seen it.
Oh my God, I know. We talked about that. It's not going to hit for you the way it does when we were a kid, but damn, it's such a good movie.
Well, okay. Like, tonight.
Not tonight. Soon, maybe.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie.
We can put it on the list and eventually get around to it. So, the movie, K-Pop Demon Hunters, done by Sony Pictures Animation, and same team that did the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse films, has a similar artistic style. You know, it's that house style. Disney has their house style. DreamWorks has their house style. This is the Sony house style. And it works. I like the art style of the movie. I think it's great. It's an interesting movie. I know you two are fans, so I'm going to let you guys really just chat it out. But it's an interesting movie from a number of perspectives. I think one of the things that I really like about the movie specifically is the fact that, yes, it's a musical of a certain extent, but the music explains why the music is there, because it's pop stars and they're having to perform their music, and the music speaks to them, so it has to speak to them because they're tapping into their emotions, because they're doing something more than just being pop stars. They're also demon hunters that need to make their music fight demons. So, spoilers. And so it's a thing where I think the movie does a good job of structuring itself and getting its plot going and focusing on its main character, which is the girl that's actually half demon. So that's all really cool. I'm not 100% like on board with it the way that you two are, because I think there were some structural problems on the other characters and how certain things work that I would change if I were to do it, or maybe the movie was supposed to be different than it is and they had to cut a bunch of stuff out. I don't know. Anyway, go.
Ladies first.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and to your point, like, I don't fully argue the fact, like, okay, there's a few things. But, I mean, I believe for the time that they had, they were efficient with stuffing as much as they could into it. And, yeah, I just kind of feel a little bit like a slice. Like, you're not getting everything. There are questions that need answers to, but that's how you make a whole franchise, I guess.
So, there are three main characters to the film. We have, quote-unquote, three main. There's one. But we have Rumi, the lead vocalist, Mira, who's the main dancer, and Zoe, who's the main rapper and lyricist. So, the three
Best
of them...
Girl, Zoe.
Yeah. So, the three of them together are supposed to be your main trio. Like, in a different version of this movie, they would each have their own main plot line, and they'd, like, everything would wrap around each other. We really only focus on Rumi and her dealing with Jinu, the bad demon guy who starts his own boy band because pop stars. And I think there's a version of this movie where the other two characters are integrated into Rumi's plot line a little more than they are. And I've bitched about this in the review I did. The other four demon guys, who are clearly not Jinu, even though for most of the movie you think they are, like, specters of Jinu, they have no development whatsoever. They're just background extras. So, like, his backup dancers. Which is a funny joke from a certain perspective, but again, we get a lot of development of two characters and not a lot of development of anyone else. And I feel like that's a flaw the movie can't quite get over for me.
I can see where you're coming from there. And I had the same complaint-ish when I watched it the first time with my wife and everything, and we were talking about it. I was like, you know, the other members of the boy band didn't have much of a story. Nothing was really hashed out there, blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of the point, I think, of the movie, because it's supposed to be about Rumi and her arc and Jinu and his arc and the... You get some of, like you said, Mira and Zoe with Rumi, because they're the main trio there. They're the group that's supposed to steal the whole moon and all this kind of stuff. You know, they're the heroes. The other members of Jinu's group, they all have like kind of tropes to K-pop, which is funny because I live in a K-pop household. My wife is a BTS fan, been ARMY for like 10 years. So I've been living this forever. I can actually speak to this. So like each one of them had a different like part of the band that like you would see, like Baby Saja, there's always a baby member of the group. Abby Saja, he's the Jack guy. Then you have like Mystery Saja, there's always a character in the group that you don't know much about, and then the other one that's just kind of like there, that's all another one that's just part of a group. Like they all fit a mold, so they didn't need development if you understood K-pop archetypes, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And then it made sense to me after she said that, and I, okay, I get it. And I think that yes, there's probably a longer cut out there and I'd love to see it. But to Beck's point, this really kind of stayed in its pocket of what it needed to kind of convey and the story it was trying to tell. And it really could have been detrimental to the story if you ran it another 15 minutes and tried to stuff in more plot. Could I have liked more Zoe and Mira? Sure, sure. But like Beck said, that's why you franchise. And we're going to probably get more of that. The success of this is going to lead to something else, 110%. So... I mean, I think the flaws that you see, I get it, and I don't disagree, but I think for what they were going for, I think they hit that spot they were trying to go for in the finished product that we got.
Mm-hmm. And I frequent the TikToks, so I get to see a lot of different fan theories and whatnot. I tick the talks. Those dang TikToks and those kids and they're dancing. But it's something I... You only see it for a split second or two, where there's a theory of, like, the other guys of the boy band. They're not really their own, you know. Mm-hmm. They're... Because they don't have names. Mm-hmm. It's romance, mystery, yep. Baby, Abby.
Yep.
And so it's more, like you said, the aspects of the K-pop. I do not know K-pop, but, like, I was laughing along because... I know a little bit of anime, so it's kind of like, I feel like it's next door to that.
It's okay.
So I'm just like, yes, I'm here for what's going on. But it's like you see it for...
I'm laughing at myself because, like, you know, you wouldn't expect me to be the one that would be the expert on it. But she married into sports. I married into K-pop later on in life. It just kind of happened. I
mean, it happens. Bex married into a fandom for Blackula that almost no one shares. So...
The love of that movie, you've the love you've shared for that movie many times.
More than once, it will be a thing.
But like, there's a scene when he's first introducing this idea to Guima, and you see these guys transform from like you see a split second of one having like the tusks or whatnot that some of the other I want to call them like lower. Demons.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I feel like Jinu's kind of up for whatever reason. Mm. And his face doesn't change much. Like, he has his demon face, and then he has, like, his human whatever face. But these guys actually switch into more of, like, a Jinu-type demon face.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see them at one point, when Guima sucked Jinu back, and the boy band went into, like, their demon forms, they kind of looked a little zombie-fied. Like, there's no thoughts behind those precious eyes. Like, you see him kind of slack-jawed a little, and it's only a split second. So it's kind of like, do they really have control, or are they kind of more like the little puppets between Guima and Jinu, and they're just serving a purpose?
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see where that comes out of, because there's also like theories going around right now. Like, at the end of the movie, Baby Saja isn't one of the ones that was slayed, and I think Romance got away too. I think two of them weren't shown being killed I guess you'd kill a demon, whatever.
You don't see Mystery. The only one you see actually, like, disintegrate is Abby.
Yeah. And you get the other one with the hair. You see Zoe slash him, too. But the baby Saja and the other one, there's theory, like, that they're still out there. Maybe they'll be a point for the next movie. So, like, we'll see. But, like, I think you're right. They didn't exactly have a personality, but I don't think they need to. I think they were just kind of part of Ginyu's control there, or Gima's demonness, like whatever you want to call it. But they were a part of the plan. I don't think they had their exact beings, to your point, because they were like hierarchical, I think, with the demon thing. Like when you said it, made me think of Bleach, and I'm gonna go anime here, and Dark Moon's gonna hate it.
Yeah,
but like it made me think of the Arrancars and the Vastor Lordes and the Hollows, like different tiers of them. Like they got more human the stronger they got. So it kind of had that kind of archetype for it for me, is what I kind of gather from that. You have your low level demons that are on the plane and look like demons. Then you have your high level demons, which look more human and are more refined. And it's kind of basically, you get that in a lot of anime. The stronger things get, the more human they look. And it just kind of makes sense. But I thought that worked really well here, especially if, like, you know, coming from the anime world, if you don't like K-pop, you can like anime and watch this and appreciate it. And the songs are catchy as shit. Like, I don't care. Like, they're just good.
There's not a bad song in there, because usually any kind of movie, there's at least one or two where you're like, okay, whatever. No, every single one of them hits.
Yeah, they're all solid. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What's your favorite one? I gotta know. I'm gonna cop out and I'm gonna give two. So I will allow you to give two as well.
I mean, the first one I saw that actually, you know, got me interested, which is probably the one that a lot of people liked, was the end one. What, this is what it sounds like? Like,
yep, yep.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah, that's up for me. Yep.
Yeah. And I like Takedown too, because that's just fun.
Yeah, they're both very good. What It Sounds Like is my favorite, and everybody's favorite is Golden. Golden's a great song. It's good. Mm-hmm. A lot of people also like how it's done, the first one in the beginning when they're, you know, fight on the plane. And Takedown's great. I like the Takedown, though, when it's the Zoe and Mira as the demons kind of getting at her, and you see them fighting on. So, like, I feel like that's just, that was what that song was supposed to be, and they couldn't get it to that point because they didn't hate each other. So that's where the song really slapped. But a sleeper song in there that I love, that I'm just gonna be soft about it. I think Free is one of my favorite songs on there, the Ginyu and Rumi duet. And there's just something about, like, I'm not a slow song kind of guy, but there's like certain times when I hear a song and I'm like, you know what, I can just listen to that on repeat. It's just fucking good. Like, BTS has a song that's called Make It Right, and it's just a random song. It doesn't have to be a popular one. It's a slow song, and I love it. Like, 311, my favorite band of all time, a song they play called Eons. No one knows what that song is, but that's the best song in their catalog, in my opinion. It's amazing. So, like, slow songs, when they hit for me, they stand out, and Free really stood out for me. But What It Sounds Like is top marks in the movie for sure.
Oh, yeah. And one thing that I picked up from the TikToks, like, Golden.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who, like, is musical kind of put in their theory of, like, okay, you see Golden. Rumi is an alto. And for those who know altos, they're more of, like, the deeper voice. Like, you got the sopranos that can go up here, and then you got the altos that stay kind of down here.
Mm-hmm.
Golden actually goes out way outside an alto's range.
Yep.
And even though Golden is about them, as they say, it's like, hey, it's a story of us. For Rumi, even in the lyrics, it's like, hey, I can finally show the girl that they all see.
Yep.
And she's forcing herself to sing outside of her range to hit those high notes. And it's like, that's a perfect, you know, mirror or whatever, or metaphor of what she's doing. It's like she's forcing herself to not completely be her, to operate outside of her zone just for everyone else, kind of thing. Yeah. So it's awesome.
It is a difficult song to sing too. Like, I'll sing it and I'll have fun singing it, like when I'm in the shower by myself and ain't nobody can hear me. But like, I try to hit that note and forget about it, man. Like, you see people try to do it, not many people can hit that. And for an alto to get there, like, that, I didn't think of that But damn, like, you're right. Like, really taking her out of her comfort zone, which I think was a lot of the point of the movie, too. Like, you know, and the movie hits again on another level there. Like, she's getting out of her comfort zone. She's showing that, like, she's been hiding this from her friends her entire life, and it's been weighing on her so heavily, and she's been pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and they're so close, and then everything comes crashing down, and it's just destroyed around her, and she's looking to die. And then, like, I almost for a second thought we were going to get the Rumi heel turn there at the end for a minute, but it wouldn't have really worked for her character. Like, I didn't know how she was going to snap out of it, but then her true self came out, and she kind of, like, was like, nah, like, I'm not here to save this Haman. I'm here to make a new one. Fuck you. And, like, it was good. And then from the walk down the catwalk, walking down, I was just like, oh, man, this girl's badass. I'm in.
And I think that's what makes it hit for so many people is that it's the whole, you know, learning to self-accept, the power you find inside, the, oh, my gosh, like, rely on your friends kind of thing, like, trust them and all that. It's just, there's so many good, like, mottos and whatnot that the movie touches on. And I think that's why it hits with a lot of people. So
it's full of those tropes, but they hit on all those little pockets of where they're like, yeah, you know what, that's been done before, but I don't hate it here.
So the tropes are part of the storytelling, and you touched upon this with the structure of the boy band and how they're built and the archetypes that they do. And I'm sure to a certain extent the lady band does the same thing with their trio, and there's background stuff that fills in without, like, explaining things. The thing for me is, and this goes back to your point about me dreading anime, there's a lot of cultural shorthand that doesn't convey itself to me the way I think it does for some people, especially if you grow up in that culture. People who understand K-pop can just see these archetypes and see it. But, Mike, you know, we've discussed this enough. I hate shorthand storytelling that is just supposed to fill you in without doing anything. How many slasher movies have you and I bitched about where all the characters are shorthand fodder and none of them get the development they need, and then you're supposed to care when they die?
Yeah, we went over that ad nauseum.
Yes.
I mean, just give me a little bit of development,
little
please.
Bit.
Just
so
anything.
This is what the thing is that my problem was with these characters. Like, they have these tropes, they have this relationship that's hinted at, they have these things that... But we do see, like, a flashback or two for when they're little kids and they get trained. And I'm not saying we need to have, like, a deep half-hour plot line for each of the other girls. But during one of those flashbacks, if we got, like, a couple minutes of, like, hinting about why these other two girls are there to fight demons beyond... Well, they can sing and we need demon hunters. Like, did they lose something in their past? Because all we get is, like, a tiny snippet when the demon powers start to take over. And that's not quite enough for me because it happens too far in the end of the movie for me to feel their characters. I just need, like, a couple minutes that just says, like, gives a little hint at their backstory so I understand them a bit better and how they react when they find out that their friend is half demon. Because, like, their reaction, I guess, only makes sense if you understand the tropes and understand that at a generic level, demon bad, even though the movie the entire time is showing us demon not necessarily bad. So it doesn't it doesn't play. And to the same extent, like, when Jinu is falling for Rumi, the two of them are starting to have this connection. If we just got a minute or two of, like, the other four demon guys being like, hey dude, you're, like, stepping over the edge here or something, and we could see a little bit of their personality, that makes them less tropes. Because again, until the final battle with Guima, we didn't understand anything about any of them. I assumed they were just shadow clones that Jinu was controlling. They were just aspects of him that he was using magic to make. And then he dies, spoiler, and they don't, also spoiler, and then they go and fight the demon hunters and some of them die, third spoiler. And it's the kind of thing where if we knew beforehand that they weren't just shadow clones of Jinu, that might have shaded them in a little better than what we got. I don't need much. I just need a little.
Yeah, like, they don't really explain the whole demon thing at all. And
no!
I'm willing to bet it's not even just shadows of Jinu.
No.
Or they're their own people. They're just...
They're lesser demons.
Kind of mindless.
Yeah, and that makes sense after the fact, but it's not in the movie, and I have to headcanon that myself because the movie doesn't explain it. Now, Mike's point is that if you watch enough anime and know the culture, then it automatically explains itself, but clearly, I don't understand this shit. And this movie isn't just made for Korea, it's made for international audiences. Give us a little. Just a skosh.
Yeah, They needed more than that, like I said, split second clip of them looking like zombies. Yes.
It doesn't take much. 5 extra minutes on this movie, and I suddenly don't have any problems with it. Aside from the fact that it's a musical, and I'm just not a huge musical fan. But that's a hump you're never going to get over. The fact that I sat through it and enjoyed it is a big win for this movie, you know?
Oh, yeah, honestly. I looked over, and he's like, that wasn't that bad. I'm like, what?
You sucked me in with demons. Yeah. Yes, it's a musical, but it has demons, and automatically hot girls fighting demons, you're 50% of the way there.
I do want to say something on, like, when you mentioned about the gals, mm-hmm. and wanting to get a bit more, like, why the heck are they there, or their whole effect of Rumi seeing her as a demon or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to say, this is kind of stepping into making it a bit more deep, where it's like, It's not about her being a demon. For Mira, like she said, it's like, I'm not allowed to have a family. It's like her betrayal, like she felt betrayed by Rumi because Rumi lied to her. Mm-hmm. Like straight up lied to her. And Mira even admitted, like, hey, I'm hard to get along with. Like, mm-hmm. that's my bag. And with Zoe, she, like, you don't really see too much of her, but it's like the whole people-pleasing thing. It's the... She actually had to set up a little boundary with Rumi, which is probably the hardest thing for her to do mm-hmm. in that moment of seeing her as a demon. So mm-hmm. it kind of speaks more to, like, it's a whole movie about people's traumas.
Yeah. call me a dumb gaijin. It didn't quite play for me, okay? It's fine, but...
That's fair.
Valid points across the board. I'm with you. And I'm gonna spoil. I've probably watched this like 6 or 8 times already. Just like it's playing on my second monitor sometimes when I'm gaming at night, just because like they're bops. What can I say? So like I can nerd as hell dissect this movie. Like they're just sad, but my memory works like that. But there are little snippets in here. You kind of do get, like Bex was saying, points of like how their relationship is and why they are the way they are. Like she said, like Mira's like, I don't get to have a family. And when they're sitting down in Rumi's room and she's kind of hiding the cat, which, you know, spoiler, Derpy Cat is the best character in the fucking movie by a mile. I love him. Oh my God. She's trying to like hide the cat from her. And like, Mira's almost showing herself to be vulnerable right there. Like, you know, this was my problem. Like I have trouble trusting people, but I feel like with you, like it's okay. And like, you know, I just hope it kind of goes both ways. And she almost like she's waiting for Rumi to say like, yeah, I know. And Rumi's like, okay, I'll see you later. Like she doesn't almost return the favor there because she's not comfortable sharing because she doesn't know what Mira's gonna think when all she had to understand was like Mira's exposing herself to me right here and whatever. But that I think is the plot developing in itself. And then when it comes to Zoe, in the song when they're beginning to sing Golden at the beginning of the movie, you see like 2 arms pulling her back and forth a little bit in her scene. It's almost like she getting pulled in a million directions, trying to please everybody. And, you know, she comes out and kind of bares her soul a little bit to Rumi. But like, if you didn't piece it together throughout the whole movie, it's going to come off almost empty in a way, like you said. So the fact that I've watched this movie so much, I've picked up on every little piece of it. It's only 100 minutes. It's a quick watch. So I see where you're coming from, but like you did kind of get it, but not in a formula or a way to your point. If you don't know anime and you don't understand the basis and the tropes of what you're looking at, you're not going to be able to put the pieces together yourself aside from, hey, it was a good movie and the songs were bops. And that's fair.
They didn't take their time with explaining that bit. They basically boiled it all down to the most essential parts.
Exactly. Like. Yep. Yep.
And that's the thing. Like I respect that they can trust their anime-loving audience to love their anime. That is perfectly fine. I get that. But you want this movie to be a few $100 million hit, or the Netflix equivalent of that, or whatever. And it is huge. Don't get me wrong. It's huge. But you do need to make sure your whole audience is on board with everything. I'm a contrarian. I get that. But there are other people like me that don't watch anime. And you can't trope all your anime if you want your thing to be fully mainstream.
Fair. That's a fair way to put it. But like at the end of the day, this movie was geared toward kids. Obviously it's a cartoon. Like, I mean, this is for your 15 and under girl crowd and the kids that like it. the fact that it has reached so many people just, I think, also shows the power of the culture of either A, anime, B, cartoons becoming more mainstream to begin with, or even just K-pop itself. Like, it has it in the fucking name. Like, people are going to go check out what it is if you like K-pop with the word K-pop Demon Hunters in it. Like, it got clicks just for that. The fact that it was good overall as a movie, you know, call it like a B if you want, as an overall movie. I think it's much better than that, but you could... How can you rate it lower than a B? Yeah. Yeah, even people that are going to hate on it, I don't know how you can rate it lower than a B. This is an A-tier movie for me.
Yeah, it I mean, to your point, the fact that it has kind of... Like, to I guess to hit both of your points of, like, yeah, could they have captured more people if they did, like, expand on some things? Maybe. But the fact that they did encapsulate or, like, ensnare the hearts of so many, like... at such a wide age range.
Yeah, yeah.
And have it being like a kids movie cartoon, but have it have so much heart to where like you got adults like bawling their eyes out.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot going on to that, and I feel like they did such a masterful job to have it all together. Cause like I'm sure the kids who watch it, they watch it for like a few reasons, and the adults watch it for other reasons. And the kids that watch it, they're going to grow up and watch it again and be like, oh, so that's why mom was crying, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing. So it's kind of neat to see something that's able to do that. Like, for people who are willing to watch the cartoons and be like, yeah, you know, it's not that bad. It's like Bluey. I still have to watch Bluey because apparently that's another one that's...
Apparently it slaps. Apparently it does.
One thing I forgot to bring up when we were talking about like the songs, Free.
Mm-hmm.
Another old thing I saw on TikTok is when, you know, when they're both walking on the rooftop, like separate rooftops, and they're walking on the Hun Moon. They're both walking on the Hun Moon. Jinu's footsteps are turning blue. Like, it's not red. So it's like... Yeah. And another one for that is apparently someone said, like, this is filmed on twos. Like, for every two frames, they do a movement in animation.
Yes.
The demons, they are on one. So that's why it was so smooth. But when Jinu and Rumi are singing together during Free, apparently it syncs up. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm just relying on this person on TikTok saying that, who's, like, an animator and nerds out about that, because I don't have that eye, right. So, but I just think it, like, oh, that's cool, because they're coming together, and...
It's little things like that in movies like this make it that much more special if it's true, and someone's saying that, like, that's another little thing that they put in. It's just, it's brilliant. You know, it's something that someone that is able to see that and is able to notice it is going to point it out and point out, like, hey, this is really cool. And then more people are going to be like, oh shit, that's really cool. I didn't see that. It just keeps expanding from there. That's why this is, I mean, what was this? This came out June 20th. Okay. We're talking about it at July 27th. It's over a month old. It's a Netflix movie, for God's sakes. And the shit went into the theater this week and made almost $20 million. Like, how can a Netflix movie that's a month old make $20 million? Like, show Tiger King in there. You ain't gonna make $20 million. And that was a fucking all the rage 5 years ago. It's incredible the reach this movie has had. And I mean, I hope they make a second one, but at the same time, like, I don't want them to ruin this good movie, because the more they tacked on, I think Toy Story, you should have stopped three motherfuckers, and now we're on, like, six, and I hate y'all for it. So, like, I can do another one. Give me a prequel. Give me something else. But, like, keep in the pocket here. This was very well done overall for a lot of people, I think, and, you know, don't fuck it up. You do that enough with other things, world.
Yeah, and I think I was talking with Mike... my mic, about that worry, about a sequel. And yeah, I think, because it's kind of done by the Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse, yeah.
That's it,
yeah. And
so you, see, actually.
And they're taking their time with their movies, so it's like, I hope that they'll do the same in this one.
Yeah, I hope so.
So yes, let's discuss that for just a second. I think there's potential in this whole franchise for... continuations, and I don't just think, like, sequels, although obviously some kind of sequel, maybe, depending upon if some of those demons are still around or some other demon comes up. Like, the Han Moon, I don't think we actually saw it go golden. It was kind of bluish, kind of whitish. It's different.
That's the point, I think, of it, because she even said it. She's like, you know, we're not here to save this Han Moon. Mm-hmm. We're going to make a new one, and that's why it was different. And my wife pointed that out. I didn't catch that the first time. I've caught it the last seven.
Yeah. So there can be new threats, demonic or otherwise. But there's also the possibility, because we see a montage of previous demon-hunting groups, that you could have prequels set among all these various groups. And all we know is that they exist. We don't know what happens to them. So it's not like the standard... They're like distant prequels. They're not. We don't have to worry about having things already spoiled for us. We know certain characters are going to survive and so forth, depending upon how far back you get. You get a 1950s pop group that is fighting the demons, and suddenly we can have a whole adventure and we don't know anything that's going to happen. I think some of those could be kind of cool, and, I mean, it wouldn't have the K-pop, it would have something else, but the soundtracks could be interesting.
I don't want to, like, spread fake news or misinformation, disinformation, but I swear that my wife told me that the creator of this does have sequels planned in mind, but I think she said that she wants a prequel done with, like, Rumi's mother, like that group of hunters. That I think would be pretty cool to see. Like you said, show me. You can go backwards. I don't think we necessarily need to go forwards here, because we've sealed the Han Moon. Give me a little bit of time with this being fine. Don't give me another threat in like a month. You know, give me something, like you said, in the past where we can learn a little bit more about the lore. Like, that could be kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially with, like, the whole Rumi's parents thing. Like,
who's her dad?
You hear about the mom. Give me about the dad. And I know there's fan theories of, like, oh, she's either Guima's kid or Guima's granddaughter. And now we're in this whole Palpatine situation. yeah. So it would be interesting to see, like the prequels to this.
Yeah. Could be cool.
It's one of those things where normally, as Mike will attest, I don't like prequels. Generally, prequels fail to live up to the potential because all they are is filling in information we already know. Do we need a prequel about Jason Voorhees' mom when we already know what happens to her and we already know what happens to Jason? No, but I think they're working on one right now called Crystal Lake. We had Bates Motel. Like, I didn't really need that because all that's interesting really happens with Norman Bates near the end of that series and the start of the movies. Prequels inherently generally don't work. But I think this is one of those franchises where they could work because you get enough distance and it's different characters. And all we know is that they hunt demons. That's, for the most part, aside from, like, one person, Rumi's mom, we don't know anything about any of them. So they do not get the plot armor you'd expect otherwise. So we can have all kinds of adventures with them, and all we know is that the Han Moon may kind of survive at the end.
Yeah, be cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Okay, well, I guess we've talked this one out enough.
This is going to be 20 minutes, and here we are however long later.
I'm like, wait a minute, but isn't there more?
There's absolutely more. I can keep talking about this, but we do got to wrap it up, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's true.
We can do a part two if you want. I'll talk about this movie some more.
I gotta watch it more. I've only watched it twice, so.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Get with the program here. Only twice.
Only twice. I mean, I have the music on loop, though, whenever I'm driving.
That's not true. It's three times.
It's very good.
Three times. You watched it with me, then you watched it on your own, and then you watched it with another friend. You've done it three times. And I was fine with once, so.
But only three times.
Only three. Come on.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, feeling pretty golden. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, gonna say, who's the baddest? Us, hello.
If we're golden fried, do you think we get served best with honey mustard or, like, barbecue?
Ranch. Oh, ranch is the superior condiment.
You monster! All this time, and I didn't realize the monster you were.
I am the ghoul. What can I say?
All this time.
We will see you all next time.